This is CBS, I Am the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. Very pleased to welcome Charles Burton of Synopsys. He is in Toronto to speak at the Royal Canadian Military Institute. We go immediately to the results of the election just concluded. Mr. Carney, the Prime Minister, by choice of the Liberal Party and the rules, is now a full-term Prime Minister for all of the people of Canada. However, it is important to note Mr. Carney does not enjoy an absolute majority in Parliament. He'll need a few votes here or there in order to move legislation that is not popular. At the same time, Mr. Carney reported for work, according to London, early this morning and bounded up the stairs to his office. He said, we'll see if he was going to speak with the President of the United States. We were told that he later did, and the two leaders are looking to meet as soon as possible to discuss the tariffs and all other issues to do with the two friendliest countries I've ever known in my world. Charles, a very good day to you. The election is done. Mr. Carney is successful. He has a minority government, and his rhetoric now can be set aside. That was campaign time. Do you measure that the Liberals will continue this need to draw a line between themselves and the United States, or are they going to now govern with a quieter voice? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Well, I mean, certainly Mr. Carney's election victory is largely attributed to his appeals to Canadian nationalism by disparaging Mr. Trump and suggesting that Canada would stand alone against the United States. How this will play out once he is in fact in office remains to be seen. Mr. Trump did congratulate him on his victory, but has continued with the rhetoric on making Canada the 51st state, which doesn't go over well with Canadians at all. And the press is suggesting that Mr. Carney will soon be approaching United Kingdom, France, and Germany to come up with a united front to try and negotiate with Mr. Trump on the tariffs issue. So we don't know. I think a major concern is the extent to which Mr. Carney will bring Canada closer to China by agreeing to Chinese suggestions that Canada could bolster the threat to Canadian prosperity by the U.S. Demands on Canada by treating China in a way which they regard as friendlier, which would mean compromising on security and human rights issues with regard to China in exchange for a promise, and it's just a promise of greater access to the Chinese market for Canadian agricultural commodities. Presently, because of the Canadian 100% tariff on Chinese EVs, they've applied 100% tariff on a major Canadian export to China, which is canola seeds and related products. And this has been very damaging to a critical agricultural sector of Canada, which combined with the threat of U.S. tariffs is really causing the popular opinion to demand that Mr. Carney diversify Canada's trade relationships. And of course, a major partner for diversification would have to be the People's Republic of China.
Gordon, you have a question.
So, Charles, we know that the Liberal Party has already been thoroughly infiltrated by China. I mean, could it become even more friendly? I mean, it seems that it has already just completely opened itself up to Beijing.
Yes, I think it's possible that in fact, Mr. Carney, due to background that we may not fully understand, is beholden or at least willing to become much more intensely related to Chinese interests. And there have been a couple of indicators. One was his replacing a candidate that had disparaged the Hong Kong bounty on a rival candidate who resigned his candidacy when it appeared that the Royal Canadian Mounted Police might be engaging in an investigation of his statements, with a candidate who was even more closely associated with the United Front Work Department of the Chinese Communist Party. And in response to questions about a bill that passed through Parliament last June, which requires the appointment of a foreign influence commissioner and the establishment of a foreign influence registry, where people who are recipients of benefits from a foreign state, which would be primarily China, would have to declare that publicly. Mr. Carney evaded the question. And whether this registry will be implemented remains to be seen, not to speak of the Security and Intelligence Task Force on Elections, a Canadian body set up to monitor foreign interference in elections, which issued two urgent expressions of concern over Chinese support for Mr. Carney, a systematic campaign of disinformation to encourage people to support Mr. Carney, and also Chinese suppression of positive information about the candidate, Zhou Tai, who is subject to the bounty under the Hong Kong security law. So, you know, there's some preliminary indications which are very, very concerning about where Mr. Carney will be going with Canada-China relations.
During the campaign, candidate Carney, who was at that time also the prime minister, mentioned enhancing security, especially in the north, in the opening sea lanes. That very much brings him in confrontation with China and Russia. Is that what he intended?
Well, I think certainly when he was asked about the greatest threat to Canadian security, he said one word, China, which, may be in response to these other concerns that I've raised about his apparent willingness to bring Canada into closer alignment with the Chinese Communist Party. There is a proposal to establish three bases in the Arctic, military bases in the Arctic, and proposals to try and upgrade Canada's icebreaker and submarine capability. But these are really very much in the initial stages and wouldn't come online for some time. It's similar to his suggestions that Canada could promote prosperity by building oil and natural gas pipelines to the north, the east, and the west to diversify away from our heavy dependence on the U.S. market for the sale of those commodities. The length of time it would take to establish them in the process is so long that it's really not an immediate political concern.
Gordon, you have a question.
Charles, what's the future of the Conservative Party now?
Well, it's very interesting that Mr. Poilievre, the leader of the Conservative Party, lost his seat in the Commons and therefore is no longer eligible, say, for the residence of the leader of the opposition in the Commons. And there seems to be support for him remaining as the leader of the Conservative Party, despite not having a seat in the House of Commons. He could get back in, I suppose, through a by-election, but that would be months and months away. So the party is missing its leader in question period and other commons related activities. It seems that the campaign was largely bungled, and that if things had been managed differently, that Mr. Poilievre would be the Prime Minister of Canada today. So support for the Conservative Party is extremely high at levels of the proportion of the popular vote that have been unseen in modern times. But due to the collapse of the Socialists, the New Democratic Party, which has lost its party status in the House of Commons, the progressive vote was able to squeeze a victory and a minority government by a very modest margin. How long this government will survive remains to be seen. Part of the support for the Liberals occurred because of the transfer of votes from the separatist Bloc Québécois to the Liberal Party in Quebec. But, the tolerance for the Québécois of Mr. Carney may abate fairly soon. And the Bloc Québécois in alliance with the Conservatives could force a vote of non-confidence and another election that might occur in as soon as a year or possibly 2 years. But the other possibility is, seeing as the New Democratic Party members no longer have an official party affiliation is that Mr. Carney may convince some of them to cross the floor and become liberals, thereby giving him a majority government and guaranteeing his remaining in power for at least four more years.
Charles Burton of Synopsis. He is in Toronto to speak at the Royal Canadian Military Institute. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.